Maybe I won't actually hold my mic and I'll just kind of set it here. You feel like it'll work the same?
Sure.
I should probably
I'm
stop
sure
doing
it
that
will.
too. Because I feel like this is a better appearance than, like, what do I do with my hands if I'm not holding a microphone?
That's a really good point.
That's why I
That's a
don't,
really good
like, preach
point.
with the thing on my face either and hold a mic because I literally don't know what I would, like, I feel, yeah, it's probably bad. I probably should get comfortable doing it the other way, but
I feel like the
I would
issue
rather get
happens when
comfortable
you're like
preaching
opening your
first.
Bible. I think that's
That's
another
when it
issue.
sucks. When you have
That's
to
the
open something,
issue.
or like my iPad, or like, yeah. Do you want to be
You're
on
like looking at it
the
through the camera,
podcast?
like at the camera through
Just
the
so our audience knows, Miley O'Connor is on the other side
Yeah,
of
she's
the
chilling.
podcast. She's helping film and edit for us today. Hands free.
Thanks. Hey guys, welcome back to the MIDI and Mics podcast. I'm your host, Stella.
And I'm Cole.
Oh my gosh, my brain just stopped working.
And we are the hosts of the Mini Mic Podcast. I don't know if Stella's ever done the intro, and that's probably why it just went terribly. But we're excited for the summer series. We're going to be going through passages of scripture.
Yeah.
We might have a guest on here or there, but going through passages of scripture, talking about it, talking about what it means to live and look like Jesus.
Yeah, and I feel like it's an opportunity to like open your Bible and like read it with us too.
Yeah.
And like read that chapter yourself too. 'Cause we're not we might read a whole chapter, we might not,
That takes a long time on a
but
podcast.
takes a long time. So you might read like a specific chapter and then like you can open your Bibles up with us, and if you want to, you could read the chapter, read along with us. So that'd be kind of cool too.
That would be sweet.
So
It's a great reason to get into your Bible. So we're gonna try to put out one of these like once a week, maybe 3 times a month.
Maybe.
We'll see about Stella's availability.
We'll see about your review. I feel like
Wednesday's at 1 o'clock.
okay. I don't work Wednesdays, so that's
Perfect. I do,
except for
so it
today,
works great for me.
unfortunately. So
All right, so we're diving in. Stella, can you tell us? We picked Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Can you tell us why you picked Ephesians chapter 5?
Well, I just picked that because in my Bible there's like little sections that has like the titles of what it's talking about. And he texted me. We were talking about what book to read. He said Ephesians, and I was like, let me look. And so I went in there and I saw the light versus darkness section in my book, and I read through it and I liked that one, honestly. So
Light versus darkness.
yeah.
Cool. I have a more normal Bible that doesn't do that.
Yeah,
So
well,
if you have a more normal Bible, there's no discrimination here. That's why I brought this stack, just to let you know that it doesn't matter what kind of Bible you like to read. We all belong to God.
amen.
Anyways, all right, let's dive in. So do you want to read it?
Sure.
Cool.
Okay.
Or do you want me to?
I don't know how I you
All right,
should
I'm
do
going to read
it.
it. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Verse 8 says, "For you who were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find Shoot, this is really hard to read right now. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'"
Good job, Cole. You didn't really have any, you didn't stutter or anything.
I feel like I need glasses. No, just kidding.
Oh,
I kind of went cross-eyed halfway through, though.
real.
So what's sticking out to you in this passage? I feel like I really like how, obviously, talking about light versus darkness, I don't think that we talk about that
No, that's
very
probably
often.
the
I feel like sometimes, if I'm being honest, here's Confessions of the Youth Pastor Cole. I'm scared to sometimes talk about like darkness, like from a platform, like talk about demonic, talk about
Because you don't know how to handle that, or because you don't want to put a light on it.
I don't want to scare people.
That's fair. You are talking to like teens, so that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, even on Sunday mornings, though, I kind of feel the same way. It's not that I don't want to put a light on, it's just that, like, I feel, like I'm scared of becoming the person who says there's a demon around every corner.
Oh
You
yeah,
know, like every dark room has a demon,
that's
so
demonic.
watch out. You know what I mean? And even like, I've been watching like the Marvel movies.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, Marvel.
No, yeah. Yes, I
You know,
know.
like, Like Thor?
Like, yes, I
Ant-Man?
watched every single one of
Spider-Man?
them. I
Oh, you
watched,
have. So
yes.
you've watched Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't watch that one. Skipped over it in the timeline to Wakanda Forever. So from Spider-Man Far From Home to Wakanda Forever and skip Doctor Strange. Just so if you follow along in the path of the movies. And the reason I skipped it is because some people told me that they feel like when they watch it, it felt demonic.
I mean, in a way, yeah.
There's a lot of
Witchcraft,
witchcraft,
there's a
a
lot of
lot of dark
witchcraft in it.
magic. Not necessarily the same as like the first Doctor Strange where he's just doing some spells and like finding out who he really is. And I mean, I know that that is fake. Like obviously there's no one making a shield out of like nothing, right? Except for maybe Jesus. But nobody that's like manipulating time and space
Time,
like
yeah.
that. But then watching that or like not watching that, I felt convicted. I was like, shoot, like should I actually be watching that? And I start thinking about this. You don't have to deal with it yet. Someday you might. I start thinking like, crap, like if I watch this and it actually is bad, and my baby's like sitting right next to me, or Kaylee's sleeping in the other room, or like whatever, what am I letting into my world that I didn't mean to?
No, I think about that too, actually, with things that I watch or even music I listen to too.
Yeah, but you don't,
But not about my
there's no
child. There's
ramifications
no,
for you
just
yet.
about myself.
It's just like, what am I letting into my spirit? And I was like, if, for my spirit, I feel like I can guard it, but then I'm thinking about like the challenge that it is for like those around us. So anyways, long story short, I don't talk a lot about darkness or light, and I feel like it's maybe kind of like a foreign concept to some people that aren't growing up in the church or like don't really get it. So even like all the things I just said about that feeling sort of demonic and witchcraft and all that stuff, like I feel like you grew up kind of around church and in church, basically entirely, not kind of, but
Entirely, I grew up in the church entirely.
always here, always listening, always perceiving what mom and dad said. And I did too. So like it's not foreign to me in any sense. Like I totally understand, I totally get it. But like for people that don't get it, and he says darkness versus light, what do you think of? Like how do you describe that to someone who doesn't get it?
For darkness versus light, that's I feel like a topic like this is something that's very hard to explain to someone who hasn't grown up in the church because it's like you don't want to scare people. You know
No,
what I
just scare
mean?
him. Just tell him what
Oh
you
gosh.
think, like a great way to describe it.
I think
Viewer discretion is advised.
gosh, maybe. No. I feel like so the light would basically be Jesus, because he's the light of the world when he came to the world, and that darkness would just be the enemy. Demons, witchcraft, everything that obviously isn't directly from God is darkness. And everything that is of the enemy is darkness, I would say. And
Yeah.
I feel like, like to the spirit and
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. But I feel like it's such a concept that I think needs to be talked about because I feel like it makes people as Christians more aware of like spiritual like, warfare that happens and like honestly, yeah, like just
Yeah.
the spiritual warfare that happens that we don't realize happens, but it is constantly going on. And I think it's good to be aware of it so you can be like praying in the spirit and realize like, is this me just having a bad day or is it actually a spiritual attack from the enemy
Yeah.
to stop me from doing this?
Well, that's really
So
good. Because I think one thing that we will often say is like, oh, there's a battle for your destiny, a battle for your soul, a battle for your future, right? And it was like, okay, cool. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But I think it really does at times like boil down to decisions like that. Decisions like, oh, are you going to continue on in this habit that isn't forming light in you, isn't forming good things in you? Because it is like maybe a portal for darkness. It is maybe like an opportunity
Yeah. I feel
for the
like
enemy to get ground in your life.
there are a lot of things that are portals for the enemy to influence us more than we realize. Especially, I feel like our eyes and ears are the things that we watch and things that we listen to, because that's what the enemy uses to get to us is through the things that we watch and we listen to influence us.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, like our eyes and our ears are portals, that I feel like easily influence us in our daily lives. Like the music we listen to, I feel like before I was like, oh, it doesn't really matter that much, but now I feel like God's teaching me a lot more about it, and like. Even if it's like not like a song that swears, but maybe it's just like a sadder song. Is that a sadder a word?
More sad.
More sad. If it's like a more sad song, like it has a huge influence on your spirit. I think if you listen to it often. Just things like that, the simple things,
Yeah.
it has a way bigger impact on us than I think we realize it does.
Yeah. Yeah, David says in the Psalms, in the Bible, you know, David, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He says, may the words of my heart, or the, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to God.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't, like you can't listen to something catchy and not, like, have mm-hmm. it, like, you're essentially meditating on it. If it's stuck in your head, like, how are you not? Isn't that kind of like, yeah, it's not like you're intentionally meditating, but it's like, mm-hmm. don't sing that song because it's going to get stuck in my head. Please don't.
But it's, you know, hard, I mean? Because, like, no, yeah, like we said about, like, you're, like, not intentionally.
No, it's not intentional. It just kind of happens. And that's why, like, mm-hmm. but the intentional choice comes before that.
But our intentions don't matter to the things that we do for the enemy. The enemy, he doesn't care about our intentions for listening to a song. He'll use the song against us or whatever we do or anything. He doesn't care about our intentions. Yeah. He cares about our actions.
Yeah.
Because there's a quote that Pastor Dave used on a Sunday that is, like, stuck in my head. It's, like, the end of a quote, and it says, sin is a doorway with a demon standing in the doorway waiting for you to cross the threshold to sin. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that one.
Okay.
But, I mean, it sounds right.
Sounds right. And it just made me think that, like, it's not our intentions that get us across that threshold to sin. It's our actions that get us across our threshold.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's really mm-hmm. good. As I feel like you can oftentimes, and I think, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking to teenagers, right? Like, I'm talking to people like between 6th and 12th grade, maybe a little mm-hmm. older or younger. But how many times do you offend someone or mm-hmm. make someone mad or do something stupid to your mm-hmm. parents that you get in trouble for? And you're like, well, I didn't mean to.
Doesn't matter.
Like, at the end of the day, I guess nobody actually cares. Like, uh-huh. like, it's kind of like, oh, like, you're speeding down the highway and it's not a big deal, right? You're just being on the highway. Like, mm-hmm. my intention is just to get to work sooner.
Just to get to,
and then I so happen to, like, cause an accident or mm-hmm. whatever, and all of a sudden, it doesn't really matter what the intention was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't intend to hurt someone, but I did.
But because you were speeding down the highway with your actions, then, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy thing about.
Yeah.
So, anyways, intentions are important.
Intentions? Okay, intentions. But okay,
not
see?
That important.
No.
Is what
this
saying.
Is what I see, because then I was thinking about it.
Stop.
No, wait. Because then I was thinking about it. I was like, because our intentions with the enemy don't matter, but our intentions with God does matter.
No, that's good. Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I was like, why? Like, why does it matter with God, and why doesn't it matter with the enemy?
She's been stewing on this for a while.
I have, guys.
Is a Betty Crocker crockpot about this information right now.
Yeah, pretty much, basically. A Betty Crocker crockpot, yeah.
Did they name the crockpot after Betty Crocker?
Did they?
I mean, I don't really know.
Did they actually?
Someone search that up.
Yeah, anyways, fun fact of the day. Yeah, Miley,
it's not a fact if we don't know it's true.
Yeah, okay, anyways.
Fun question of the day. Okay, anyways, okay,
I was thinking about this, like, why it matters to God, because, like, I feel like, the thing that I think about, that, like, our intentions that matter to God is, like, when we give. You know what I mean?
Like, give what?
Like, money? Give money or time, like, or something.
Tithing time or treasures.
Time, yeah. Is that, like, God wants us to donate either a time or money or whatever, but he wants us to do it with a good heart.
Yeah.
And I think it's because...
A cheerful heart.
A cheerful heart, yeah. I think it's because he wants to prepare our hearts for, like, eternity in heaven with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, to have a good heart posture and have a good heart posture or good intention behind a good action that leads you closer to God or glorifies God.
Yeah. That's
it
good.
It grows you in who you are, and I feel like it also prepares you for, like, eternity in heaven.
Yeah.
Too.
I feel like we are totally all over the place right now, but let's just continue this thought
and then we'll
move on.
Yeah, anyways.
Because it's really interesting that you could do a wrong thing mm-hmm. with the right intention, mm-hmm. but you can do the right thing mm-hmm. with the wrong intention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like have a bad intention, but do the right thing anyways. And it's like, actually with God, what you're talking about is faith, really.
No. Yeah, for
right?
sure.
It's like having faith in things unseen, having uh-huh. like choosing to worship God with our attitude and with our actions.
Yeah. What's the verse? It's like faith without good works. Isn't
yeah. James like talks that? About faith without works being dead.
Yeah.
And works without faith being dead
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, oh, checking the boxes of going to church, reading my Bible, mm-hmm. praying, like
it's also
it's really easy to do that without actually communing mm-hmm. with God, because if you don't have the intention to, you're not mm-hmm. going to. That's why our...
It's also the relationship too aspect of having the relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why one of our mottos for youth over this past year was that expectation determines experience. Oh, I don't know how much we shared that with students, but we shared it with our leaders every single week. And that's mm-hmm. this is like the thing that we're talking about, right? Like mm-hmm. if you open your Bible and you're like, God doesn't speak to me anymore. I'm so just bummed out. I hate reading this thing. I'd rather play Fortnite. Then don't open your Bible. Like, what's the point? You're wasting your time, right? Your expectations that he's not going to speak to you. So he's not going to speak to you. Like it is at the end of the day, like your words, your attitude, your thoughts have that much power mm-hmm. to open or close that doorway for God to like come into your life and mm-hmm. speak to you. Obviously he can slap you upside the head and tell you like, hey dude, like get your life together. I want to use you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, let's make it easier on God, I guess. I don't know. Right.
No. Yeah.
And have good intentions and go like, my expectation when I open this book in the morning is that mm-hmm. God is going to show up in it. And because I have that expectation, mm-hmm. I'm going to encounter the Holy Spirit and he's mm-hmm. going to teach me something.
Mm-hmm.
But if I open this book in the morning and go like, God hasn't spoken to me in years, so he's not going to today, but I'm going to read it anyways because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you feel like he hasn't spoke to you in years, but like, what if you changed your mindset just for a second? And like, and instead you approach him and like, today is the day that God's going to speak to me. I'm going to look for it mm-hmm. until I find it.
Yeah.
Because that's what God's doing for our hearts, right? He's mm-hmm. he's seeking and seeking and knocking and knocking and just looking for the door that's open. And I think oftentimes it's that, like, open the door of your heart.
Yeah.
And then you let light in. And what does light do? It casts out darkness.
Yeah, okay. There's
what I brought it back. Did you see that?
I did.
That's
yeah.
what that's called circular reasoning.
Is that really what it's called?
No, I don't know. Someone define that one next in the chat.
I think when I read this too, without like when you let the light in, about how it overcomes the darkness.
Light overcomes darkness.
Yeah, as no matter how dark it is in a room. All the lights are off and no lights are out and just dark. They're like, it can't be too dark for the light to not overcome. Like, a darkness can't drown out the light. Darkness cannot drown out light.
Yeah.
But light can drown out darkness.
Yeah. No, it's like how, it's like the speed of light, right? Like, it's like mm-hmm. faster than anything you can imagine. So like, you mm-hmm. don't notice the longest delay is your hand flipping the switch in a room, right?
Yeah.
It's not
uh-huh.
the light. And you're like waiting. Oh, shoot, man.
Yeah.
Is the darkness gone yet? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's a flip of a light switch.
What would that be like if we went to turn the light on? We're like pushing the darkness back, like you're actually trying to.
That's such an odd concept.
Well, I think that's how spacey like this idea of like light versus darkness is for some people. It's kind of like, what? Like light versus darkness. Uh-huh. But I think in some ways when Jesus said that Jesus came as the light of the world, right? But then he said that we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Right? And that I saw someone talking about this recently, and I was mm-hmm. just kind of like, and I wish I was just listening to a podcast about someone, and he's saying, like, you've got to name your sources. When you name your sources, you get credibility. Here's why I don't name my sources 9 times out of 10. Because I don't know who it was.
What?
Like, I'm just scrolling on Instagram, and I watch a video, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, that was really good. And then, I get the concept, and I don't even acknowledge the person that did it.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. So more often we should just write like, this is good in the comments or something, just to appreciate the person that created it.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, he was talking about how we are the light of the world. And it stuck with me because I was like, wait, God's light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said that we would be light and salt, salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sometimes really easy to think of ourselves as salt because it's like, oh, it's easy to be different enough that we're causing a shift in someone's flavor, like the day's flavor, like, right?
Perspective.
The flavor of the day has changed dramatically when you add salt to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Huh. But it's kind of hard to think that we're light because if to think of ourselves as light means that everything around us is darkness.
Yeah.
Except for what we claim for the light.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. I'm kind of tracking with you.
Like, the earth is the Lord's and all that's in it.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
it's been, what would you say? Captured?
Oh.
Pervaded by darkness?
Perverted.
Perverted by darkness?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. like Satan kind of has free reign over the earth?
Yeah,
In this mm-hmm. time frame?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anything that that we don't claim for light is claimed as darkness.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yes or no?
I'm tracking with you.
Does this make sense?
I think...
So this is why I did this thing at my house yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it on my Instagram. You might have by now if you follow me on Instagram. But
oh, yeah, with the...
I wrote out four Bible verses. I literally don't even remember all of them. It's like one from Galatians, one from Colossians, Psalm 23, maybe one from James, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, 1 Peter. It wasn't Colossians. Oh. It was 1 Peter. And then one from James. No? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't... The verses didn't matter so much as like what they were saying. And so I put these four... I was out on a run and I was listening to someone talk about sexual identity and how traumas in their childhood had caused them to think a certain way. And then because they thought that way, they continued to think that way and just like lived into it for a while. And then they just tried to stop living into it and they kind of had to get to the root. And what I realized was that like, whether you're living into your emotions, your feelings or not, like there is a root to everything.
Oh yeah.
And if it's not claimed for the light and called out into light,
and called into the light, then it's
and then it continues to live in darkness. So I was like, shoot, like I feel like there are certain things that have happened in my home, whether I was there or it was the people that owned it before me and the people that built it, I don't know, that like weren't light, like they weren't good things.
And you needed,
and I wanted to claim this for the Lord, for light. And so I wrote out these Bible verses on there and put them in at the corners of my house and like right in front of the doors. And I was like,
yeah.
Like, and we're just going to leave them there, like, I don't know, probably forever. I don't know. Maybe my wife will be like, oh, they're kind of ugly. Let's make them look pretty and then leave them there.
Let's make them look pretty.
But I was just like, what an opportunity you have to, like, claim the things in your life for light. So, like, what if, I mean, some kids do this, like, right? You leave your Bible open or, like, put like, a Bible verse on a sticky note and, like, stick it on your mirror so you see it every day. Mm-hmm. Just different things in there to, like, claim, like, let's claim where we live, the things that we do. For Jesus, and take that ground back from the enemy that we've just allowed him to kind of step into because we didn't think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know what you're saying now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, claiming.
Long story short.
Basically, claiming what the enemy took and claiming it back
for the Lord.
For the Lord.
Yeah. Because if we don't, then no one will.
Exactly. That's
Like that's why we're on the earth right now. Like Jesus isn't here physically; he's here in us. To champion us and help us do the things that we wouldn't be able to do without him.
Yeah, and be the light.
But we have to be the light because no one else is being the light.
Yeah.
No one else is speaking truth. No one else is going into environments that are like full of darkness and, and being light and life, right?
Yeah, and that's why it's important to do that too, because like every person on earth is someone that Jesus died to save. So like not only should we do it because we're called to it, but like every person is worth showing
they're worth
Jesus's light
showing
too.
Showing life and love
too. Showing life and love too. Yeah. Like every person on earth is worth it. Yeah. So I like to say like claiming it back and like claiming every life and soul back in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Good stuff. Amen.
Amen, guys.
All right. Well, that concludes our, never mind. What, do you have other stuff?
It.
Do you have other notes?
No, I kind of just was like notes.
Spitballing there a couple of things I've been thinking on all day, but.
No, yeah. I just have a couple notes on like other parts of it, but I think my number one thing was that like darkness cannot overtake light, and I feel like especially like if you're in a dark spot in your life, or like if you keep doing like a repetitive sin, or like if just like your life right now sucks,
feels dark,
like feels dark, like if you're dealing with mental illness, or you have like a really rough family life or friends right now, even like like even friends right now was not great, and it's making a really dark time or dark space for you, that like God's love and light will overtake that darkness, and it can redeem the darkness.
That's good, yeah.
But no darkness can overtake his light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unless you let it.
Unless you let it. Yeah, obviously. Unless you let it.
But I think that's good. That's like kind of what it says in verse 8. So it says, for you were once darkness. Like you were.
Yeah.
You, Stella.
Because we were born into sin.
Stella, you were darkness. Sad. Yeah. Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And then it says in verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So it's like, you have to like live as children of the light and experience fruit of the light. And the fruit of the light is all goodness. It's all good things, like righteousness, truth, good things. So it's like, oh, what is it going to look like if I live for Jesus? All good things.
Yeah.
Like hard things sometimes.
It's
because life is a challenge, and we are fighting a war, are fighting a battle, but. So many good things too that come like right with it, which is really cool.
Yeah, because like we're born to sin on this earth, but we have to choose God. And I think that's the beauty of too of having a relationship with God is choosing to love him.
Yeah. And that's what it says in the next part. In verse 10, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you have to choose to do your work, your research, your reading, your praying, your God, what is it that you want? Like, what does this look like? Because I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then if you go on, like, the next chapter anyways, I just thought of this.
Jumping chapters.
Was
children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
chapter 6, verse 1. That's the first verse.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about putting on the armor of God, too.
That's important.
That's why it's
important. One light thing you could do, though, is obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
That, too. Coming from someone who is a parent.
My kids don't obey. They're 2 and 1. 0. So,
0. But when you're talking about, I don't know what you were.
You're talking about the armor of God, which is verse 10, yeah.
Yeah, in Ephesians 6, that's why it's important to put on the armor of God to not only to protect yourself from the darkness, but also to help fight battles for other people, like by praying for them and praying over them. And I just thought of that too, because it's like on like it's literally the next chapter, and it's in like chapter 6.
Chapter 6, verse 10.
It's verse 10, and it's just all the way down, basically.
Basically to the end.
But yeah, I think it's really important to do that too.
That is really good. Mm-hmm. Super, super important. Because, and I think that this like kind of like battleground analogy, like we're not talking like tanks and guns. We're talking like swords and shields.
Swords of the spirit. And, shields of faith.
Is really helpful for some people that like maybe it's hard to conceptualize what it would be like to have an enemy that's like coming at you.
Yeah, in it's a like, spiritual.
Yeah, in a spiritual sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I think it's super helpful to like be aware of. And then when you're aware, it's kind of like knowledge is power. And so like once you know that this is going on around you, once you know that this could affect you, that this is a challenges that you could face in like casting out darkness, right? Then it helps you like know, okay, like when I come into a situation and I go like shoot, like why is my mental health so bad right now? Like, okay, there's such a great opportunity. What did we talk about this last year in youth? Anxiety is a signal.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
It's not, it's not a what?
It's not a, I don't know.
Come on.
I have notes in here. It might be my old one, actually.
Oh, shoot. You take too many notes. March.
It's
got to be in there. Find it really quick. But we were talking about anxiety being a signal to turn your attention back to God and go like, okay, what was going on in my life? That caused me to think like this. What was going on in my life that caused me to experience?
This might take a minute, guys. Hold up.
A tragedy in that sense.
I don't know.
A signal, not a sin. That's what it was.
Signal, not a sin.
Yes, I finally got it. Anxiety is a signal, not a sin. It's not a sin to feel anxiety.
No.
You might have done some sinful things that caused you to feel anxiety, but anxiety is in itself not a sin. It's a signal that can point you back to God. It's a signal that goes like, hey, oh, wait, you might have stepped out of line. Like, something might be wrong. You might need to prepare for something. Like, sometimes you go, oh, I'm anxious about a test. Okay, great. That's a signal to do some homework and make sure you get your test right.
Yeah.
You know, I get anxious to preach a sermon. That's a signal to make sure I'm prayed up and I've, like, done the work that I need to. And then there's a point where it becomes more than that. And then it's a signal to turn back to God and go like, well, I don't want this anxiety to rule my life.
Give it to God. Give it that burden.
Give it to it back to God. Not to think it's like, oh, this is a sin. God, make me stop feeling anxiety because I don't want to be sinning. Well, it's not a sin. It's a signal.
Yeah.
That's good. I think all mental health things, not necessarily all clinical mental health things, but like a lot of mental health hardships are signals that tell you that something's not quite right in your daily life.
Yeah.
So like if you're feeling a lot of anxiety, like what is that signaling you? What is it trying to say? If you're feeling depressed, like is that signaling something? Like is there some sort of habit in your life or lack of habit in your life that's causing you to feel like a melancholy type way?
Yeah, I think a lot of like,
and then it obviously can escalate into like a lot more.
Yeah, I think things like mental health too, I think a lot of the times can be, it is, because it's an attack from the enemy, because depression and anxiety is not from God at all.
Anything that comes against you isn't from God.
No, absolutely not. But I think a lot of it too can be, because it's like anxiety and depression, like they hold you back. Obviously, they hold you back from accomplishing a lot of things, And I think too is about when you're dealing with that, it's so important to give it to God, because that could be holding you back from accomplishing what God has for you, and living in His light too.
Yeah, I feel like
so. But obviously, there's way more to that, because like that's not easy to do. Like, okay, well, I'm experiencing anxiety.
We're talking about it like it's nothing.
Yeah, which
because
is
because I'm not experiencing anxiety right now. I do experience anxiety at the thought of someone approaching me and saying that I'm talking about it as nothing. So just acknowledging that I'm talking about it as more than nothing.
It's
a big thing, and it's a big thing to struggle with. But I think that sometimes when you're on the other side, or in when you're in a good spot, it's good to just recognize it for what it is, so that when you do get to that spot that's like, oh, this is really hard again all of a sudden, you can go back to that headspace and go, whoa, yeah, that was really hard. But like, what, remember what I learned like in my moments or season of it not being also hard. Summer is like that for like a lot of us, I think. We look, and especially living in Minnesota, right? Like, the weather's nice. I like don't have to put shoes on to go outside. I don't even really need to put a shirt on to go outside. I could just like enjoy the sunshine, get a nice tan. You have so much vitamin D. The weather alone is a reason not to be depressed. But we start doing so good, and we just completely forget about God, completely forget about like what it means to pursue Him or feel these things. And we don't actually learn it all in that season. We just kind of like enjoy it.
Yeah,
which is great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. But also take an opportunity to look and reflect and go like, shoot, what am I doing in the summer that's making me feel so good that when I go back to school in the fall, I'm going to feel like garbage again? Anxious, stressed out, depressed, frustrated, angry. All of those emotions. And yes, I totally think some of it's weather related. But I also think that you can get some of that in the winter too. Like you can still like go outside in the late fall on a sunny day and get some sunshine in your eyeballs. It really helps a lot. You can go outside in the spring on a nice day and get some sunshine. You know, when it's 20 degrees in January, take a walk. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Don't close the curtains all day long. You know what I mean? Just little things that make a big difference. But because that's all casting out darkness. Like you can, there are physical things that we can do to cast darkness out of our bodies. Because all of those mental illnesses is darkness living in our bodies. Like let's take physical action when we can to cast it out.
Bring it back. So that's why it's important to put on the armor of God, guys. Just gonna bring it back to that one. Just saying, bringing it back. And I think it's important to speak it over yourself too. So you should read it if you haven't.
Yeah, you should speak it over yourself. You should read it for yourself. Maybe in conclusion. So. What time is it? We have a little bit of time left, but in conclusion. I feel like this is actually a good spot.
This was a little all over the place, but that's okay.
I thought it was really good. All over the place?
I thought it was a little all over
the place. Does our producer know any idea what we're talking about? There were good moments. She said. She's going to stitch it together and make it great.
Let's hope so. Okay, we're going to read
She's
it.
She's going to try not to read it
conclude,
at all.
Because it's very important to speak it over yourself.
Yeah.
And you also can... You also can get some of it when you listen to it, too. So, should I start? I'm start from 10. So, Ephesians 6, verse 10, says, "Finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in heaven. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and have prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." The rest is just about Paul.
Basically. Yeah. I don't know. What do we do with verses like that where it says pray for Paul?
Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known boldness of the gospel.
Can't actually pray for him anymore.
Yeah.
But pray for Cole and Stella that we that our words would may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
That's good. They can pray that for
That is true. And pray you can pray for, and for pray your pastors for yourself.
And for yourself and for
boldness,
your parents.
Too.
What?
I lost my place.
Oh boy. All right. Yeah. So that's all for today, but we probably should do that one more segment, you know, my favorite segment.
which is
a bone to pick.
I was thinking about this on the way.
Oh, perfect. Here. Perfect. The bone to pick is my favorite segment. It's where we have a bone to pick with something in our society that it's like a bone that we want to pick.
Like a hot take, kind of. But something you're annoyed
Spicy
with.
Take.
Spicy take. Go.
No, you've been thinking
no,
about
I
it.
No, I haven't. I was trying to think of something and I couldn't.
Oh, shoot. Well, one would just be an observation. This is not a bone to pick. But Dunkin' Donuts is making a comeback in the Midwest. They're everywhere all of a sudden.
Is.
And I love it and hate it at the same time because there's not one in Elk River yet. We don't need another coffee shop in Elk River.
Yeah,
Otsego's not Elk River.
Drive to Otsego. Okay? It's literally 10 minutes away from your house.
Yeah, it's too far. Starbucks and Caribou is only 2.
No, it's not.
Starbucks is 10.
I guarantee you.
But Caribou is like 2 minutes. The little cabin on Highway 10. Right there. I see. Shout out to my boy Zach Philbrook.
Oh, yeah.
He works there.
So what's your bone?
Bone to pick would be with my bone to pick is with the fact that there are no hangout places in the city of Elk River.
Oh yeah.
There's like nowhere to hang out. Like we don't have a mall. We don't have like a thing. Like there's nowhere to go and chill. There's a million little coffee shops, and obviously there's Lake Orno. But like I'm talking like in February, I want to chill with my homies. Where are we going? So this is for those of you who may be influential business people someday. Every community deserves a place to hang out. And my house isn't big enough for all of us. So
no.
There's always church. Mm-hmm. But so maybe when we get our expansion thing done, we'll just have a little coffee shop.
I'm so mad I won't be here when the youth expansion is done.
Oh, you're dying?
Yeah, I am. Hey guys. No, I won't be here like attending. So
you
mad.
You could be leading.
I know, but I won't be a youth attending it.
Well, we're going to use the space for young adults, too, so there'll be some bit of that as well. Okay, anyways, that's my bone to pick. The Elk River, Otsego, Rogers area doesn't have, like, a spot to chill. Because, like, you go over to Edina, Eden Prairie.
You know the why.
I know. You can pay $150 a month.
What?
No chance.
What? Was it just an option?
It's not an option. I can't afford it. I was thinking something like somewhat free, like meet me at the food court kind of vibe.
Food court?
Okay, she's never been out of Zimmerman. Let's move on.
I'm so offended by that. Anyways, my bone to pick.
Okay.
I have a couple, but.
We have one. You can use one.
I know. My bone to pick is with dairy allergens. That sucks.
Are you being serious?
I'm dead serious, dude.
Straight face, dairy allergens. What?
No, being allergic to dairy.
It sucks that you're allergic to dairy.
Being that's lactose intolerant? Yeah, that's annoying.
We live in a lactose culture where I'm intolerant of everything.
No, being like lactose intolerant, that sucks.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of that song, like Uptown Girl, you know? Uptown Girl.
Oh, yeah, by Billy Joel.
Yeah, but. We're changing it to lactose girl living in a dairy world. Come on, that's so funny. That just popped into my head. I love that I can think of stuff like that. That's
I love that you mentioned Billy Joel because he's sick, but you know.
No, he's gone actually.
I know.
Just like Paul.
Music.
Yeah, no, anyways, that's cool. It's a great little tune, but it's so much better being a lactose girl.
That's my bone to pick, is being lactose intolerant. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
What's worse? Like, okay, last thing, and then we probably should wrap this up, but okay. What's worse, being lactose intolerant or celiac?
Oh, celiac.
Wait, why?
Because celiac is like...
So it's basically like you can eat ice cream forever or you can eat bread forever.
Well, no, celiac is like
so many options.
Celiac is like gluten free on steroids. Like it's like
yeah, you get sick. It just means that you get sick.
No, but there's like an actual like gene or like a cell or what is it? No.
So there's actually something wrong with your body. You're saying
yeah, there's actually versus something
like
wrong.
I mean, there's something wrong with your body for lactose, but it's more like you just can't digest it well.
It's like yeah, but like there's also like so many.
Okay, fine. How about being like allergic to gluten? Or, but not just gluten, like all flours. So you could never eat bread again. And by flours, I don't mean the flouring kind. I mean,
I feel like
the white stuff.
I feel like gluten is more sad, but I feel like it.
So you'd rather have cheese than bread? This is coming from a lactose person.
No, I'm saying I feel like it's easier to find gluten-free things than it is to find dairy.
No, but not gluten-free. No more gluten-free. You can't have any bread-ish products. You know, like fake breads, coconut flour breads, yeah. Almond flour breads, almond flour cookies.
I like bread too much.
Okay, that's cool. Good but for you. I would be choosing lactose because gains.
Because gains.
I'm just kidding. But actually, I probably would choose dairy over bread long term. Not necessarily because of gains, but because of gains. And by gains,
not
I mean like
of gains,
weight
but
gains.
Because of gains.
Because if you eat carbs that much. Yeah, weight gains.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not. They make me feel bloated.
Okay.
And dairy makes me feel.
Dairy makes
not
me
bloated.
Feel very sad.
Probably makes you feel bloated.
Very painful.
Anyways, so this has been the Mini Mic podcast, where we talk about things with mini mics.
Yeah.
So
we should look into getting actual ones, but if we do that, do we have to change our name?
Yeah, that's why we haven't. So
I don't know.
We could just change it to the RL Youth podcast, but like that's so lame. The Mini Mics podcast. We have a small following called the Mini Micers.
Yeah.
So we'll see you at rally night on Friday. Bye.
Oh, bye.